everybody, Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my friend Ray Allen on the other side of the glass. Ray is engineering and producing our show on this November 22nd, 2016. Of course, today the 53rd anniversary of the assassination of President Kennedy. Certainly a defining moment in my generation, one of those moments that if you're of a particular age, you remember exactly where you were when you heard the news that President Kennedy had been shot in Dallas. The Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040 for your calls and comments. When we sit down to our Thanksgiving dinners on Thursday, all of us will have something to be thankful for. Former United States Representative Ron Barber of Arizona's 2nd Congressional District is thankful that he survived the January 6, 2011 assassination attempt on Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords that claimed six lives and injured 13, including Mr. Barber, who served in Congress from 2012 to 2015. And Ron Barber is with me in studio. Congressman, how are you?
I'm well. It's very nice to be with you, and happy Thanksgiving to all of your listeners.
You know, Bill, we were just chatting before we went on the air. I remember exactly where I was. I was at New Trier High School in Winnetka, Illinois, on the North Shore of Chicago, and at the student radio station. UPI was, the bells were going off, the flash out of Dallas, the President Kennedy had been shot. You were sharing with me your own particular memory.
Yes, I was in England, living there with my parents. My dad was in the Air Force. He was stationed in England, and we were sitting at home watching a game show, I remember so clearly, and my friends were coming over to take me out to a club with some great music going on. I said, no, I can't go. But they forced me to go, and I'm glad they did, because when I got there, it was pretty overwhelming. The people who were at the club, many of whom knew I was American, were coming up in tears, crying, you know, hugging me, and just it was a good night in that sense that I knew that we weren't alone in our grief and our shock over the assassination of the president, who I admired greatly.
And we all remember those of us living here in Tucson, certainly that horrible day in January 2011. You're still suffering some of the consequences of that, aren't you?
That's true. And I think I'm not alone. I know I'm not alone. Actually, many of the other survivors and the families who lost their loved ones that day, we see each other very often, actually. And I know that we're all still living with that horrible memory. For me, it'll never go out of my mind that I saw Congresswoman Giffords shot in the head as the first person, and I was the second. And then the second memory I have of that day was my colleague and my deputy, Gabe Zimmerman, who fell between myself and Gabby, and it was obvious from the look on his face that he was dead. Those are memories that will never go away. But, you know, we did our best, and our community did a lot to not let that day define us. We saw so much love and compassion from our community and the memorials that sprung up spontaneously. It was really a unifying experience for the community of Tucson.
And we have the memorial now that is planned,
yes,
the permanent memorial. What's the update on that, Ron?
Well, the county and the city some time ago passed unanimous resolutions designating land in front of the old historic courthouse downtown in the El Presidio Plaza. And we are in the process now of raising funds. We've raised about $1.5 million to get going with the designs, with the operating expenses. And now we're in the process of raising money for the actual construction of the memorial.
It will, the hope is to have it up by when?
Well, we think we can break ground if we make progress in our fundraising, break ground by this time next year. And that all depends on how well we can raise the remaining about $4.5 million that we need for construction. We have very good support here, and in fact, from around the country, the honorary co-chairs of our fundraising effort, Congresswoman Giffords and Jim Click, and we had an event on Thursday night where both were present, and we came away with about $225,000 just from that one event, and more to come. So we're working hard. We've got a great executive director in Crystal Kasnoff. We've got a great board. Everyone's got their nose to the grindstone trying to raise this money.
You know, a lot was talked about civility in the wake of the Tucson tragedy. When you look at the presidential campaign, there one thing that certainly was lacking was civility.
Absolutely right. Well, what happened, you know, right after the shooting, we'd all experienced 2010, which was a horrible year in terms of vitriol and the hatred that was directed towards Gabby, who had voted for the Affordable Care Act. None of us accused the young man who shot us of being involved that way, but I think the rhetoric of the time and the rhetoric now creates a space where it's okay to do things that are otherwise considered wrong and inappropriate. And we're seeing it again with the rhetoric coming out of the campaign, particularly President-elect Trump's rhetoric, which is just dreadful, misogynist, racist, anti-Semitic rhetoric, which was throughout the campaign, certainly anti-Muslim, anti-immigrant. And now we see the aftermath of that. While the president-elect may be pulling back a bit on those matters, we see people who are energized and support what they believe he is all about. We saw a rally in Washington, D.C. just the other day where the people who were talking about white supremacy and white nation saluting Nazi style. I mean, this is not made up. This is real. There's videotape of it. This is the kind of outcome, this is the kind of environment that's been created by this horrible and negative and uncivil campaign.
How about social media? What role has that been playing?
It's been enormous. You know, when we first started with the campaign in 2006, it was still in its infancy, and we used it a little bit. But by 2012, when I first ran for office, it was a mainstay. We not only had social media, Facebook, Twitter, and all the rest, but we purchased space on Facebook and other media outlets, social media outlets, because that's what people were paying attention to. In 2016, it was really, I think, more important than some of the other media that you use.
Than the over-the-air TV media
that
traditionally had been, you know, tons of money spent on it. It's really surpassed that, hasn't it?
Sure it has. And when you look at the Trump campaign, his Twitter tweets, I should say, are what everyone listens to or watches, and it creates headlines, and he knows exactly how to use it. He's got millions of people who follow him there. I just hope that someone can take that phone away from him when he's president, because I can't imagine the tweeting out of the White House against imagined slights like the Saturday Night Live skit that he hated. And, you know, this presidents need to be a little bit more settled.
Where do the Democrats go from here?
Well, I think we have a real cause for deep analysis of what happened in 2016. You know, early on, I thought we would have more significant inroads in the House, maybe 15 or even 20 seats. It turned out to be 5 or 6. The Senate was supposed to be Democrat. It turned out to be just 2 more elected. And the White House, of course. So I think what we have to be listening to is why voters turn to a man who is so dreadful on so many levels. And it's about the economy and about jobs, and he touched a chord and a nerve with those folks when he was talking about that. The economic message was not that significant from the Democrats, certainly at the presidential level. We have a leadership competition in the House between Leader Pelosi and Congressman Tim Ryan out of Ohio. We have a competition, it looks like, for the national director of the Democratic National Committee. And there's a lot of soul searching going on. We do need to really refocus. I think while I believe in supporting diversity, and that's got to be a part of our platform, we certainly didn't pay enough attention to people who are suffering financially.
Is Arizona turning around a little bit? After all, Sheriff Joe was voted out. And a lot of the Arizona Republic this week was commenting about perhaps the fact that Maricopa County is going a little bit toward the blue
it
area.
Is. And I think the exit of Sheriff Joe is one small bright light in what was otherwise a very dreadful election outcome. You know, he practiced discriminatory law enforcement, and that, I'm glad, is gone finally. And then the county recorder in Maricopa is now a Democrat, mostly because of the major problems that were in the primary with voting and lack of voting booths. So I think this whole state actually is going there. And we'll see in 2018, if we can make any more gains. I believe we can actually make gains at the federal and state level in 2018, and that's the work that has to begin now.
Who do you think could emerge as kind of a Democratic leader right now? Not necessarily someone that's already in Congress, but someone who could possibly emerge as a young Democratic leader.
Well, I think the young Democratic leaders are probably already in elective office and known to us. The Castro brothers are really fantastic young men. Perez, who is the Secretary of Labor. Tim Ryan, who's challenging Leader Pelosi for leadership of the Democratic caucus. So, these are people who have been in Congress, but I think they really represent a whole new generation of thinkers and members, and I believe the future is going to be in their hands, along with many other people who I worked with, some really fantastic people in the Democratic caucus. Joe Kennedy out of Massachusetts, a bright and very exciting young man, and of course with the Kennedy image and background as well. So yeah, I think we've got some people coming along. Brad Schneider out of Chicago. I mean, these are good people. They're in their 40s, and I think they're going to be the emerging leaders of the party in the future.
All right. Congressman Ron Barber, want to wish you and yours a very happy Thanksgiving. Please extend our best to Gabby. You speak with her quite a bit. Give her my best for sure.
I will,
would
of course.
You?
I told her I'm going to visit with you today, and she said, oh, please give Bill a hug, which I did on the way in. That was from me and from Gabby.
Yeah. Thank you very much. All right. We'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show.
Flood or fire damage to your home?
Floods and fires can attract termites to the home and destroy pest prevention measures. Five Star Termite and Pest Control has a comprehensive treatment plan to protect your refurbished home. Five Star treats the building materials of the home not once, but twice. You can have Five Star's most thorough treatment protecting your home, and your homeowner's insurance covers it.
So before your restoration begins, call Five Star Termite and Pest Control, 886-0045.
We're Five Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
The excitement is building for the grand opening in early 2017 for the Twisted Tandoor. The legendary Indian food truck will now have a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu will be an expansion of the Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, coming in early 2017 at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved. And with almost 60 flights a day taking off from Tucson International Airport nonstop to San Diego, Los Angeles, Las Vegas, Oakland, San Francisco, Salt Lake City, Denver, Portland, Seattle, Dallas, Houston, Minneapolis, Chicago, Atlanta, New York, and easy one-stop connections to hundreds of destinations around the world, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
The Regional Transportation Authority funds new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The RTA's 20-year plan also includes roadway improvement projects and expanded transit services to provide added convenience and accessibility. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region a better place to live, work, and play. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Experience the best of the Canadian Rocky Mountains with the rail journey on Rocky Mountaineer. You'll travel alongside the powerful Kicking Horse River and pass by monumental landmarks from the early days of the National Railway. On this legendary route, you'll see postcard images around each bend, including stays in picturesque Lake Louise, with scenic tours of Jasper National Park, and much more. Contact Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Rocky Mountaineer rail journey today. Bon Voyage Travel, your travel experts.
Shelley Fishman is a certified financial planner professional. The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
We welcome Mr. Shelley Fishman on the Buckmaster Show Live Line. Shelley is calling in from one of my favorite places in the whole world on the Central California coast, Monterey, California. How are you, Shelley?
I am well, Bill. How are you today?
Doing very well. Is it a beautiful day over there in the Monterey area?
Yeah, it's kind of like paradise. Just me and the pelicans and the seals. And a couple of 100,000 tourists.
Yeah, always. Pretty good day for the markets. I believe we touched a new high on the Dow.
I think so. We are, last time I looked, about 40 cents off of 19,000.
What's going on?
Well, I think the market is reacting favorably to a couple of things. Number one, the potential for less regulation of the financial industry. Number two, the potential for up to $1 trillion in infrastructure spending. And so short term, the pieces of industry that would benefit from those kinds of policies are spiking. And when something spikes as aggressively as what we've seen over the past 2 weeks, it has a coattail effect, so everything kind of comes up as well. We're also seeing, very interestingly, green when I take a look at all the bond funds that I track. Not every day and not as much as the equity markets have gone up, but the bond funds have improved as well. So we're not seeing that seesaw effect the way we would expect. Now, long-term, if interest rates start spiking as a result of all this spending, then we could see an effect on the bond market.
What are we looking at now, Shelley, for the year end here? What your prediction had been in the 7% range. We're looking at more than that, aren't we?
We could be as high as 12 or 15%. So we could have a better than average year, average being the average over the past 60 or 70 years, between 11 and 12%.
How about the minefield that could burst this bubble?
Oh, gosh. Well, if the bubble is built on expectations, and those expectations either don't roll out or don't roll out as the market expects them to roll out, then, of course, there'll be a pullback. The other thing is, anytime the market moves in anticipation of what corporate profits might become, that's a little dangerous. We really don't know what this administration is going to try to do, or going to be allowed to do. And as a result, I think the market is, to use a 20-year phrase, irrationally exuberant.
What do we do as investors? Do we just sort of sit on the sidelines, or do we maybe take a look at the portfolio here at the year end and think, we need to make a change?
Well, I'm never up for market timing.
Okay.
However, if we've had increases in certain segments of your portfolio that either cause it to be unbalanced, given the balance that you're looking for at the beginning of the year, or if we have a movement that we think is maybe temporary and isn't going to hold, it doesn't necessarily be a bad thing if you take some profits and hold some cash in your accounts so that you can then get back in on weakness. So, for instance, if you set an objective, let's say 19,000 or 19,200, and the market hits that, you can take some of your highest performing holdings and maybe convert them to cash, unless there's going to be some capital gains implications. But certainly you can do that in retirement accounts. And then sit around and wait a while. Now, if the market continues to go up, you kick me and yourself in the shins and say, how dumb. If, on the other hand, the market pulls back, you're a genius.
You know, this is the, of course, year end. We also need to think about, what's ahead? And the way the dollar, Shelley, has been just, I think it's at one of its strongest levels. It's getting close to almost parity with the euro. How is that going to impact emerging markets? And some of the emerging market countries have been really, really hard hit by this resurgence in the dollar.
Oh, absolutely. And a very strong dollar has an effect on our ability to export. Now, I think some of that is being subsumed or overwhelmed by the uncertainty in what is going to happen to trade policy. For instance, the president-elect in his statement of priorities, I believe it was yesterday, talked about canceling the Trans-Pacific Trade Pact. Now, that would put China back in charge of trade in the area. The other partners that we have, the six or seven other partners whose signatures are critical to the TPP being enforced, all have said that they can't really do it without our participation. On the other hand, they can approve it and wait to see what we do. If trade, both in NAFTA and trade with Europe and trade with Asia, is somehow dislocated by a change in U.S. policy, then it's hard to say what might happen. And it's hard to say how both international trade will be affected, but also what the effects will be on U.S. manufacturing, on the dollar overall, and on our status as the kind of the safe bet for investing. Right now, when other countries want to invest, they invest in the United States, in treasuries issued by the United States. If that becomes weaker because our ability to trade openly with the people that we trade with, Europe primarily, but also more and more Asia, if that becomes uncertain, then it's hard to predict what's going to happen. I've been reading every day stories of people prognosticating one way or the other. I think right now we're in uncharted territory, and it's very hard to know.
Interest rates going up at the end of the year?
Interest rates are already going up. The question is how high and how fast. I believe that we will see the Fed act in December. I was wrong about September. I could very well be wrong about December. But the economy, the fundamentals of the economy so far have been pretty good. So I think just for their credibility, I think we'll see the Fed go another 25 basis points and then wait and see as well. That's predictable. It's already baked in the market, and it will have the effect of taking some of that irrational exuberance and maybe tampering it down for a few weeks.
So you don't think that, well, it might slow down the train a little bit then, huh?
Yeah, I think, you know, people are reacting right now to the potential of what might be. And it's a short-term potential. People are not thinking past what would happen if this causes a tremendous amount of inflation or a tremendous amount of debt in the country that we can't pay back, and interest rates start going up, and so our ability to pay back the debt we already have becomes harder and harder. That's a longer-term influence, and I don't think that's what this market is reacting to. I think the market is looking for the excitement of perhaps more stimulus, and that in fact is what the Trump administration is talking about, more stimulus. And so we'll see how that plays out. if that stimulus turns out to be either ineffective or less than was anticipated, or we begin to see very aggressive arguments in Congress about how much we can and should do, then I think the market will sit back and say, maybe we ought to think about this a little bit. So I'm thrilled that, you know, people are making money and you know billions of dollars are coming back into play, but I'm certainly with my clients, I'm taking a wait-and-see attitude as to where this is going, and I do believe that at some point it might make sense to take some profits and then hold cash for a while.
All right, Shelley, might be a great day to go to Carmel and take a walk at Point Lobos National Monument, you lucky person.
What a horrible thing to think about.
Have a great day in the Monterey Bay Area. Thank you, Shelley.
You too, Bill.
Have a happy Bye-bye. Thanksgiving. Bye.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is an LPL Financial planner. Shelley can be reached at 520-940-0884 or at his website, shelleyfishman.com. Securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC.
American Openings is pleased to sponsor Hands of Hope. Hands of Hope believes every life matters, and they're committed to walking alongside women to provide confidential, non-judgmental care so they can make the best decisions when unsure about continuing with a pregnancy. You can learn more about Hands of Hope at GiveHopeTucson.com. American Openings is a locally owned door and window manufacturer and is blessed to be a sponsor of a local ministry doing so much to protect life.
Sadly, animal abandonment and neglect happen to millions of animals every day. The Humane Society of Southern Arizona sees these cases all the time, and we want to save as many of these forgotten animals as we possibly can. Please give to the forgotten and show them someone cares. Visit hssaz.org/forgottenfund to make your gift now. Remember, the Humane Society on Giving Tuesday, November 29th, and help our abandoned animals.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved. Almost 60 flights take off every day from Tucson International Airport and announcing the newest destination, New York.
American Airlines, now boarding nonstop to JFK.
Daily nonstop service to New York starts October 7th with connections across the Atlantic and throughout the Northeast. Now with 18 nonstop destinations from Tucson, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the news from a different perspective. Local opinion from Emil Franzi, Bill Richardson, and Bruce Ash. Our national columnists are the best. Michael Barone, Thomas Sowell, Ilan Berman, Avik Roy, Bill Tatro, and A View from the Left with Sam Smith of Progressive Review. Plus, Michael Ramirez political cartoons. It is thoughtful opinion and commentary only found in the Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
The
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Wednesday at noon, a conversation with Dr. Victoria Mazes, the Executive Director of the University of Arizona-based Center for Integrative Medicine. Also, we have a conversation planned with Tucson City Councilman Paul Cunningham, Buckmaster, on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice, with worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. Welcome back. This portion of the Buckmaster Show presented by Green Things. Our friends over at Green Things have a fantastic selection. Biggest selection in town of poinsettias for the holidays. Check it out at 3384 East River Road, just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Go to their website, greenthingsaz.com. I hope I will see all of you over at Green Things on Friday, when my wife and I will go over and check out that huge poinsettia collection that they have and get ready to decorate for the holidays. Let's welcome now on the Buckmaster Show live line, Anthony Jimeno. Anthony is a sports journalist who has spent much of the past two decades covering UA athletics, including covering the football beat for the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson Citizen. Anthony is senior editor for Lindy's Football Annuals. He also provides sports content for KOLD-TV's website, Tucson News Now, and he's the co-founder of a new local blog, AllSportsTucson.com. He's co-written a book on Arizona basketball, 100 Things Arizona Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die, and he's host of the Wildcats basketball pre- and post-game shows on 1290 AM. Anthony, how are you?
Apparently, I'm busy.
Yeah. That was kind of interesting what Greg Hansen in his column today in The Star saying, the only one question remains, will the 16 Wildcats supplant the 57 Wildcats as the school's worst team ever? What do you think?
This may be... And, I came to school here in 85, pretty much covered the team since 91. This may be the worst team I've seen. I don't think the program is as in bad shape as it was during the final John Makovic year, which was 2003. Hmm. And that team, let's not forget, that team was pretty darn horrible too, and was losing a bunch of games by 30 and 40 points. That, by the time Jim Livegood had to fire John Makovic, the atmosphere, the program was just toxic. And I don't think whatever's happening this year really raises to that level in terms of just being a toxic atmosphere. There are certainly, and just this morning I talked to Samaje Grant, who's a senior, has been a receiver mm-hmm. all his career, had to move to running back 4 or 5 weeks ago, unquestionably has been playing hard, and here's a guy saying, he was basically just calling out his teammates saying, it's embarrassing. They're just not enough guys on this team who wanted to work, who love football. He said there's just too many guys who want to go out and wear the jersey and say they play football.
Hmm.
It's such a heavy commitment of time and effort and physicality to play football. And if you're not giving it 100%, as Samaje said, it's a waste of my time to be out there with guys who don't love football.
Mm-hmm.
So again, that's not a good thing, obviously. Is the atmosphere toxic? Are guys to set the bar really low? Are the guys running to the school president?
Yeah, remember
to complain
that
about their head coach like they were under John Makovic? No.
Yeah, remember where they went to President Likens? Yeah. The team, most of them went up there and met with him, saying coach had to go.
Yeah, I think it'll take some really crafty recruiting for Mitch Rodriguez to kind of get this turned around, and it may take a couple years. But kind of where the program was after John Makovic left it, it was more than a two-year project. So to go way around the point of kind of answer your question, on the field, yeah, it's really bad. I mean, obviously, there's no denying that. Is it as bad as 2003? No, not yet.
Yeah. What about Rich Rod's future at Arizona? Who's going to pay him $9 million? Some of these fans calling for his head. Come on, $9 million to pay him off.
That's a lot of money, especially for Arizona. You know, this isn't LSU. It's not whoever, Alabama, Ohio State, Michigan. First of all, I think just 2 years ago, Rich Rodriguez had this team in the program playing for the Pac-12 title.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that to me, that gives him some spendable currency. It's not going to last forever, but I think it spends at least one more year. And the other thing is, if he hadn't made some changes on the defensive staff at the end of last season, I think he would be in trouble. But he kind of recognized some of the pickle he had got himself into in terms of he had guys on his staff who just weren't really good fits in terms of recruiting, whether that was for a couple of reasons. One, geographically, he brought in a bunch of guys, and I think this was one of his original mistakes. He brought in a bunch of guys he had worked with, which is fine. Every coach does that. They were all kind of East Coast, Southern recruiters. You have to be able to recruit California. They didn't have the right guys to recruit California from day one.
Yeah.
So he got rid of his entire defensive staff, brought in some new guys who are younger, better recruiters, really well-versed in L.A. recruiting, and that is a large part of the solution going forward. If he hadn't made those changes, I could see where he would be in trouble. But this is really like year one. It's hard to say because it's year five.
Yeah.
But people have to realize it's kind of year one. Nobody wants to be in that spot, but it is what it is.
ASU is not that good a football team, but they do have something to play for. They could go to a bowl if they do beat the Cats Friday night.
Yeah, ASU's been a little bit of a mess as well. Like you said, they've lost five in a row. They have, for as much as people here talk about Arizona's injury problems, and they have been significant, Arizona State's have been equally as significant, and that's played a big part. Despite Arizona State struggles, and a lot of that has been defensively, I would still, if we were combining both teams and holding a draft of which players we want on our team, I'm not sure they would. Yeah, I think 10 ASU guys would go before anybody on Arizona's team.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's more raw talent on ASU, and they certainly have the personnel and the running backs to line up and just smash Arizona and say, stop us if you can. And that's really been the one of the big issues with Arizona. They're too small, too weak up front defensively, and they really can't stop a power running team that's determined to pound and pound and pound. So I think ASU's got a pretty good chance of coming in here and rolling up a sizable win, to be honest.
These crowds have been embarrassing, haven't they?
Yeah, that's another issue. You kind of see that a little bit around college football. The elites of the elite are exempt. I mean, Alabama, Ohio State, Michigan, the schools in the SEC, they're going to get 80,000, 90,000, 100,000, really no matter what. But we've seen really small crowds in the Pac-12. For example, the USC-UCLA game last week, and UCLA's having a horrible season. They didn't come out to the Rose Bowl to watch their rivalry game.
A lot of empty seats in that game.
A lot of empty seats.
And that's the way, you're right, across the country it's been that way.
It's a sign of the times, what it is, Bill. It's there's something about this social media, entertainment-driven world where we're all on our phones. We can watch. I can sit at home Saturday and watch 25 games on TV.
I know.
The stadium experience is a difficult thing for a lot of athletic directors to get their heads around these days because there's so many more options.
Yeah.
And the start times,
which the university used to be able to largely control.
Oh, they're a killer.
Yeah, because now TV controls it all.
Yeah, I wonder, Anthony, I'm going to have to run here, but I wonder if they're going to rethink the expansion at Arizona Stadium.
Well, it's not an expansion. It's an upgrade.
Upgrade, okay.
But if Greg Byrne does what he wants to do and has the money to do it, it will reduce capacity in the stadium, which is, again, something you see all across the country.
Yeah.
We've seen Sun Devil Stadium go from 70-plus thousand down to the 50s.
Well, that makes sense, yeah. Okay, yeah, your quick prediction, ASU by what, two touchdowns?
Let's go for three. Why
okay.
not? let's just call out Arizona and
see if they can do it on emotion.
Exactly.
Right.
Nothing, they haven't responded to anything else.
Okay, AG, have a great Thanksgiving to you and your family,
right.
Okay?
Thank you, too.
Thank you very much. Anthony Jimeno, always good to talk football with him. And we'll talk basketball, too, as we get into the season. A little more optimistic area to talk about, right, Ray? Basketball. All right, we've got our Fox Tucson Theater Arts Report. Dan Gibson's already on the line, but Silver City wants you to take a three-hour road trip over, and I don't blame them. It's a great getaway location, hike in the Gila National Wilderness. Just check out downtown Silver City. And a lot to do, lots of great places to eat. SouthwestNewMexico.org is the website. Has a full listing of several dozen great places to stay and a like number of many things to do and recreate in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. This year, the Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 10 years of delivering projects across our region. More than 755 multimodal projects help you reach your destinations. By delivering both mobility and economic benefits to communities throughout Pima County, the RTA unquestionably makes a difference in our region. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Hi, Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust. and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This week's arts report on our program, sponsored by the crown jewel of downtown, Fox Tucson Theater. Start the holidays off on a good note by enjoying a holiday theme show at the Fox, including a magical grassical Christmas with the Depew Brothers Band. They are specialists in bluegrass. Actually, it's kind of bluegrass meets rock meets Renaissance meets jazz. Should be a great experience Friday, December the 2nd. An Irish Christmas on December the 8th. Lonely Street Productions Blue Christmas December 9th. Felix Cavallari's Rascals Christmas Joy December the 10th. Also coming to the Fox, Dwight Yoakam Wednesday, December 7th. In addition to Yoakam's newest release, Swimming Pools, movie stars, the CMA Grammy Award winner boasts 5 Billboard number one albums, multiple gold and platinum albums, and 30 charted singles. Only a few tickets left to see Dwight Yoakam on December the 7th. Purchase your tickets by calling the box office or visiting foxtucson.com. Let's welcome from Visit Tucson, Dan Gibson. Dan, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing very well. What a lineup they've got at the Fox. No shortage of talent there, I'll tell you.
And, you know, sometimes you hear those, like, only a few tickets remaining for the show, and you don't believe it. You know, I mean, but in this case, you are a trusted Tucson journalist. It is also true, Dwight Yoakam sells out every time he comes to town. So you cannot sit on that. If you want tickets to Dwight Yoakam, you might want to buy them today. I am not saying this is some sense of hyperbole.
Yeah.
Find people at the Fox Tucson Theater. It will sell out.
It's been a good year for entertainment here in our area, hasn't it?
It is, yeah. It's definitely a lot of great shows. You know, I mean, there are more venues, more places, more galleries, more everything. Bigger and better Tucson all the time.
Give us some tips. What's going on that you can steer us in the right direction?
Well, let's look back to the Fox for a moment. The last waltz Tucson style, people may be familiar, hopefully are, with the band, classic Bob Dylan backing group, roots rock band with Robbie Robertson,
yeah.
Spectacular group. They had their last show called The Last Waltz. It was filmed by Martin Scorsese, turned into a film. Great Tucson musicians will be recreating The Last Waltz at the Fox. That is, I had it right in front of me, the date. It is November 26th at 7:30 p.m. Tom Privett, Eric Mellon, Fred Hayes, Duncan Stitt. It's a really good band. And then a bunch of other musicians will be coming through, as was on The Last Waltz, like bluegrass group Run Boy Run, blues musician Tom Walbank. This is a Thanksgiving weekend show. It is a not-to-be-missed evening. And the proceeds will support the Tucson Musicians Museum, the Southern Arizona Artists and Musicians Healthcare Alliance, and the Fox Tucson Theater. Tickets are only $15, and you can get a VIP ticket for $30.
Wow. So,
and that includes a beverage and a private party. So $30 for that is a heck of a deal. Go to Fox Tucson Theater or foxtucson.com for more information about that. Here is a plug. This is a little bit selfish. I admit this. I just want to be open about that. Our film Tucson office is doing a presentation at the Center for Creative Photography on Friday, December 2nd, called Get Real, Breaking into Reality TV. You may not consider reality TV art, but this is where we're at these days. It's a panel discussion about the state of reality television, including Anthony Michaels, who was on the show Ink Master, producers from Hollywood. If you hurry and you go to InsideTrackTucson.com, you can actually enter your idea for a reality show. Maybe something based on the show, you and Ray hanging out, you know, something like that. That's a show. I mean, I'll watch it. And that show, the best of those will get seen and sort of pushed by a Hollywood producer. This could be the opportunity of a lifetime for a Tucsonan. And all that is at InsideTrackTucson.com.
How important is posting some of those videos? You've had some really nice ones, Dan Gibson, lately on Facebook. Who does that work for you? Do you have different people that do the work for you?
Yeah, we try to mix it up. We try to do a little of everything. Local filmmakers, primarily some Arizona filmmakers, as it goes. We work with different partners. We're in the midst of a big project with Arizona Office of Tourism for a show called Arizona Expedition, that is a sort of look at the state in general, and these like fancy influencer types come in. But you can watch the first season of that on our website too. It's a big project. Video is the future of entertainment in a lot of ways. I mean, you know, it currently is. But this is how travelers are making their decisions. YouTube is as valuable to them as Travelocity at this point.
What else is going on?
So have you been to the University of Arizona Museum of Art lately?
No, I haven't. Do you have any tips for me over there?
Funny you should ask. Thursday, December 1st, from 12 noon to 1 p.m., artist Michael Haken will be there. He's joining museum director James Burns for a conversation about his work. The Michael Haken show that's at the U of A Museum of Art is really actually, it's quite great. Sort of looks at nature, close-ups of bees. It looks like oil painting, actually. It looks like photography. Actually, turns out it's oil painting. Really good show. On the total flip side of that, if you're having a little moment with the political situation right now, there is a sort of hyper-colorful exhibit there on the history of the presidents. It is not for children, I should add. You'll see some things that you may not be able to unsee. But the U of A Art Museum has a really great program right now. And if you want to meet an artist, Thursday, December 1st. And you can find more information about that on their website. You got time for one more?
Go for it.
Perfect. All right. Maybe you or one of your friends has been interested in learning about typesetting or letterpress. Tanline Printing, who does great posters and work in town, on Sunday, December 4th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., we're having a class where you yourself can learn about typesetting and printing. You can bring in high contrast drawings that you'd like to turn to a relief block, pencils, sharp, high linoleum blocks. You can make your own book. You can do anything you want. And Tanline Printing does incredible work. You can learn more about it at their website. Just go on Facebook if you look for all levels letterpress. There is a thing about that. So not just, you can't just look at art in this town. You can be the artist.
There you go.
Yeah.
One more note about tourism. That was interesting, that USA Today story that millennials are using travel agents, which is great news for one of our fine sponsors, Bon Voyage Travel. But I thought that was very interesting. They're going to professionals to get good advice.
Yeah, I think it is a little bit of a trend. People, especially millennials, when you talk about it, they want to spend as much time experiencing something. They want to experience things as close to like a local as possible. And sometimes, while that sounds like you just want, you're going to go to Paris and you're just going to wander around, but you also want to have those great experiences and you want to make sure that they're taken care of. And, maybe you don't want to think about digging through 800 hotel rooms. And
right.
Expertise goes a long way, and I think millennials are sort of coming back to that in the digital age because it's a little hard to find context sometimes. I think our website, we try to let people know what the properties are like, but if you're planning a trip to anywhere but Denver, Colorado, you may not have a idea of what are the good hotels, what are the ones that are a good fit for you. And we have travel experts that can solve that. That's appealing to everybody. But I think the travel agents have also figured out how to make their services a little more affordable and find the spaces to make that work.
All right, Dan Gibson, have a wonderful Thanksgiving to you and yours, okay?
Absolutely, you too.
Thank you very much. Dan Gibson from Visit Tucson with our Fox Tucson Theater Arts Report. Start the holidays off on a good note by enjoying, they've got some great holiday theme shows. Quickly go through a few of them. A Magical Grassical Christmas with the Depew Brothers Band. That's bluegrass music. That's December 2nd. Irish Christmas, yay, December 8th. Lonely Street Productions. Blue Christmas, December the 9th. Felix Cavallari's Rascals, Christmas Joy, December 10th. And of course, Dwight Yoakam on Wednesday, December 7th. There are still some good tickets available, but they're going to go very fast. It's going to be a sellout show. So to purchase your tickets, call the box office or visit FoxTucson.com. Coming up this afternoon, Mic Check with Mike Shaw and Ray Allen. And then tomorrow morning, Wake Up Tucson, Christy Simone, 6 to 9. Talking Culture from 9 to 10, a new talk show here on KVOI. Then me, Bill Buckmaster, not with Ray Allen tomorrow because Ray will be starting his Thanksgiving holiday later today. But Mr. Tom Fairbanks will be on the other side of the glass. We'll get you off on the right foot to get you into your Thanksgiving holiday tomorrow. Until then, on behalf of Ray, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon and evening.